You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Today, we have Peter and Gloria Vardenarvand to come on up today. Peter and Gloria, I met Peter back in, thanks Josiah, I met Peter back in 1998. I moved from Messina to Portland, Oregon, and Peter moved from the Netherlands to Portland, Oregon. He traveled a little bit farther than I did, and we met each other back in 1998. There used to be years that started with a 19, guys. 1998, we met, and we've been friends ever since, and it's just a privilege to walk with these guys. They're incredible, and I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from them today.
Well, good morning, Messina family, NTC family. I bring greetings from Cali, Colombia. All of our dream team and leadership team and the whole congregation actually are always asking, how is our NTC family doing? How is the church doing? So especially those that have gone down and visited, it has been such an impact in a positive way to the church. So thank you so much for going down there. If you haven't gone down there, you are more than welcome to go to 85, 90 degree every day. So thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for standing with us, walking with us. This is not an easy journey, but we can wake up every day and say, thank you, God, because it's your mercy that allows us to continue doing this. And we have a wonderful family in North Country praying for us. So please don't stop praying for us. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't she beautiful? Come on. Thank you. And she's all mine, so just let that be clear. So, buenos dias. Hay Latinos aquí en la casa. Woo! Latinos, come on. So, yeah, I'm mostly Latino now. So, but yes, born and raised Dutch. I'm struggling. I'm like trying to figure out where I'm going to start. So I just want to say thank you. Like my wife just said, thank you so much for walking with us, because the truth of the matter is we didn't start a church. We started a church. We started a church. And so you guys planted, you guys sowed, you guys watered. I've counted now that more than 40 people from the North Country, can you imagine, have come and visited Cali, Colombia. More than 40. It's not just from Messina, people from Ogdensburg, people from Malone, people from High Peaks, even from a Wesleyan church out in the Goonies out here. Sorry. But so we had a lot of you come over, and the impact that you guys have left, not only on us, our family, but on our church, is undeniable. And I want you to know this. And so in January of 2023, we started in our home. I think I have a picture. We started with 7 or 8 people. Maybe not. Anyway, but we started in 2023, and we'll be about, this January then, we'll be about 3 years old. Not quite 30 as Avery's. 30 years in ministry, that's amazing. We are doing 3 years. I don't know if I'm going to make 30. I know I look like 25, but I have a few more years. So if you can go to the previous picture, if you get one picture back. Nope, that is a great picture. Nope. They're awesome pictures, but that's, like the first one, where it's like just our living room and just a few people. That's, yes. Okay, so this was our first service. Anyway, 2023. So my wife is sharing the word. I led worship. My son was on projection. I think Paloma, who's somewhere up there, was running the kids ministry out in our one of our back rooms. She did that for about 2 years, helping out in that. And then if you go to the next picture, it's about 6 months later. Let's see if we can find the right picture. Nope. That one. So we started with maybe 10 people in our living room. This is about 45 people. 6 months later, we couldn't, obviously, like the bass player is all the way here in the back. We didn't have a stage or anything. So it grew And you guys watered, and it grew. I know Justin and Julie have visited us several times. Greg has visited us multiple times. Jessica once came with him. Jeremiah has been with us. It's been an amazing privilege to walk with you guys on this journey. So that was this, and then we moved to a cafeteria. Let's see if we can find the next picture in line. Yeah, excellent. That's the one. So then we moved. We needed a little bit more space. So this was the cafeteria that we met in for the last 2+ years. This space holds about 75 people. And so over the last year or so, it starts to get really full. Maybe the next picture will show you a little bit. I think our lunch served. Yeah, you see Greg right there in the middle, the one that's towering above everybody else. Latinos, they're not that tall. So when Greg comes in, it's like, whoa. So this was our launch service 2.5, almost 3 years ago now. And just recently, you guys again sent a team to do a VBS with us. And right before that, we got the news that we could no longer use this space. And actually, we were already looking for a different space. We were already looking for a space that could hold more, that would be our own, where we could, you know, decorate our children's space and, you know, not have to set up every Sunday, because that's what we do. Every Sunday morning, we go down to a second story. We bring down all our equipment, all our gear, and set up everything, every chair, every table, all the sound, all the music. Then we do a rehearsal, and then we have service. So we have been looking for a different space also because the cafeteria, as you can see, gets a little tight with 70-some people. So now we move to the next building. It's supposed to be not that one. Nope. They're great pictures. That one. Thank you. So this is the chapel. This is where we're meeting now. We started here about a little bit over a month ago. And the team that you guys sent down, the VBS, the team that helped us with the VBS, they helped us move all our stuff. They came on Friday night, and on Saturday they were moving all our stuff over. Was awesome. And on Sunday, now you can go to the next picture maybe. Nope. That one. So this was our first service in the chapel. Maybe you see some familiar faces on this right side. You see Heather, and then behind the speaker there's Jim, some people from the team. I see two cardinals in there. I don't know if you can see the two cardinals that are there, Sydney and her grandmother. It was awesome to have them. So as you can see, the space is much bigger. We can seat about 180 people. And if you go to the next picture, which is the really picture of that, yes. So this is the service that we had when we celebrated the last service of the VBS. We packed the house. So God has been good, and you guys are such a part of this. So that's why I just wanted to show these pictures. Now I'm a little bit worried about the slides for the message, but we'll get there. So you have your notes right here, right? And I realized I pretty much gave you the whole message, so except for all the lame jokes. But the whole message is here, so if you want to look back at it, it's right there. Okay, so today we're going to continue to talk about prayer. And we've prayed a lot, and I know you've prayed a lot, and Pastor Greg has been talking about prayer. And Pastor Greg's message last week was extremely powerful. And can I just say, before I move on, two things. First of all, can you guys just put your hands together for your worship team? What an amazing team you guys have. The atmosphere that they bring, the sacrifices that they make. I mean, I was up there in my PJs, and they were already out here practicing and worshiping. They're up here early, getting everything ready so that you guys can worship. The sacrifice they make every week. And it's been really cool for us to see about, we came here first 3-4 years ago, and just to see the growth in the church. I mean, it's full. Balcony's getting full, which is awesome. God is on the move. But your worship team makes a great difference. And I love watching how that has grown and how it has strengthened and how they are leading and how one of the things they don't do is give up. You know, they push through all the hardships and all the struggles and everything that goes with leading a worship team. I've been a worship leader for many, many, many years, and I know musicians are a strange kind of people. They require special care. Yes, right, Gabe? Yeah, They require special care. So it's not easy to pastor a group of musicians and singers and, I don't know, dancers. I saw somebody moving. Right. Anyway, and the second thing I want to say, Pastor Greg is awesome. I don't know how he preaches without any notes. He just, I don't ever see him look at his notes. So I will look at my notes or my tablet here. So forgive me. I'm just learning. I'm getting there. Okay. But anyway, Pastor Greg was preaching last week and he just, I kind of put this together. I said, he talked about prayer. And a prayer is not just planting seeds, but it's wielding a weapon. It's through persistent vocal prayer in Jesus' name that we can access God, that we can walk in authority, and that we can release his power to break strongholds and bring heaven to earth. That was like the whole message in one sentence. So let me ask you. You who have been Christians for many, many years, I know some of you have not, but let me ask you, do you, and I want to see a show of hand, do you believe in the power of prayer? Come on. Yes, most hands are up, some hands are like, eh. But let me see it. If you believe in the power of prayer, hands up, right high. Yes, excellent. So, let me now ask you this, second question, and be honest. How many of you should probably pray more than you currently do? Yeah. So that's interesting. Like all the hands went up at the same time. So we believe there's power when we pray, but yet we don't pray or not pray enough. We don't ask enough. We don't knock enough. We don't wait enough for God to actually move on our behalf. And so what we're going to talk about is that tension. You know, I could be so much more, like you could say that, I could be so much more intentional about talking with him. It's our Father that we're going to talk to, is that right? And so we don't talk enough with our Father. We don't ask enough. Maybe we don't even believe enough. And it's where a lot of us live, believing that God can, right? We believe he can. But we don't always remember to ask him or wait on him or thank him. So today we're going to talk about faith in the belly. It's a little bit of a play on word. It's not faith in the valley. It's faith in the belly, not my belly. We're going to talk about a very specific belly. We're going to talk about Jonah. And we're going to talk about how to pray when you're stuck. Or how to praise before the miracle. And how to walk, hopefully, out of here with maybe a fresh idea of how to pray. I want to give you some very simple tools at the end to teach you how to pray or to help you in your prayer life. Because maybe the reason you don't pray is because you don't really know how to. And not that there is a recipe of how to. It's really, if it is a conversation, it's not that hard, right? We can all talk to God. This is our Father we talk to. But hopefully today we'll walk out of here with something very practical, okay? So we're going to talk about Jonah and specifically about a prayer that he prayed. So I'm assuming everybody here knows the story. Jonah, story of Jonah, big whale. Yes? Okay. So, but just for context, Jonah was a reluctant prophet. In Jonah chapter 1, we see the word of God came to Jonah and God told him, go to Nineveh and do what? Preach. Go and preach. Well, that's like telling a pastor, go and preach. That's what we do. That's what prophets did in their time, and they still do. So God just told them to do what he's supposed to be doing. And Jonah said, no way, Jose, I'm going the other direction. And so I'm going to show you a map, if we can. So God told Jonah to go east. I've got to get the numbers right here, about 550 miles northeast going up to Nineveh. Instead, he went down to Tarshish, which is about 2,500 miles in the other direction. So, yeah. So that is not a detour, right? That is an escape plan. This is, I'm going as far as I possibly can. Where is the boat that goes the furthest? That's the one I'm on. See, here's the thing that we learn from this is then if you want to run from God, the devil will always give you a ride. Isn't that nice? You can always find a ship sailing in the wrong way. And so what happens at this point, a massive storm hits the boat. We don't know exactly where, but a massive storm hits the boat. And the seasoned sailors on that boat that were worshiping other gods, and we see that in, if you read Jonah, it's a great story. You got to read it this week. It's only 4 chapters. It's short. You can do it in one day. And we see that the sailors that are seasoned, they're praying to their god. But eventually they figure out, well, this is not normal. Something has happened. Who's guilty? Jonah says, it's me. And instead of repenting and say, let's go back, what does Jonah do? It's one of the saddest verses, I think, in the Bible. Jonah decides that it's better to commit suicide at the hands of the sailors. He said, instead of repenting, he said, throw me overboard. Exactly. So that's what they didn't want to do it. They're very, very reluctant, but they throw him overboard. And what happens is, as soon as he hits, I'm just trying to imagine it, the sea is wild. Just think about this little boat going up and down and water coming in, and they're about to drown and the boat is about to break. The moment they throw Jonah overboard, it's calm. And it says that because that happened, they believed in the true living God. What an amazing story. We're not going to talk about that now, but so Jonah is now in open waters, and that's kind of where we start our story. And Jonah is kind of wondering, you know, how is this going to end? And so the last verse of chapter 1, it says this in Jonah 1 verse 17. Let's see if we can, there we go. It says this, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now let me be real. If I was Jonah, or I was on a cruise ship, and with Gloria, that's one of on our bucket list, if anybody ever wants to give us a ride, we're open to try out a cruise, right, honey? Yeah. Yes. But let's say I fall overboard for whatever reason. She didn't push me. I just fell overboard. My prayer would not be, God, send a fish. My prayer would be, God, send me a boat. Bring an island nearby. Even bring a mermaid. An ugly one. Not a beautiful one. An ugly mermaid. Someone that can take me. Right? See, the lame jokes are not here. But it would not be to pray for a fish. A fish would not be on my bucket list, like, I want to take a ride, maybe on a fish, but not in a fish. And so what we see here, though, is that who provided the fish? The Lord. God, who is really the protagonist of this story. It's not even Jonah. The story is not so much about Jonah. The protagonist in this story is God. And God provided a fish. God provided something that we may call, and I read up on it online, and people asking, was that a punishment? Was the fish a punishment for Jonah? Some people said online on Reddit, I read it on Reddit. They said it was a punishment. But I don't believe that's true at all. This is God, and here's something that if you want to remember anything from this message, is this, that sometimes the thing that we label a problem, God calls provision. The thing that we say, that is not what I had asked for, and God says, that is exactly what you need. Because God does not always give us what we want. Is that right? But what we need is Him, most of all. What we need is Him. We need His presence in our lives. And so God gives us not what we want, but He always gives us what we need most, which is Him. So Jonah is in a situation where he is helpless. He has no strength left. There is no plan B. There is no emergency fund, right? Anybody, financial peace? Yeah, there's no emergency fund that will get you out of the Mediterranean Sea. But just because you're helpless doesn't mean you're hopeless. And I don't know if you're there right now, maybe in your marriage, or maybe in your finances, maybe in your body, maybe you got a bad report from your doctor, maybe in your mind you're struggling with anxiety or depression. You may be helpless by human measure, but you are not hopeless. There is a God who provides what you need in ways you and I couldn't even start to imagine. And this is what I love about this story. Here's what James 5 verse 13 says. He says, if anyone is in trouble, let them what? Pray. Let them pray. Not let them worry. James doesn't say, hey, if you're in trouble, go ahead and worry. That will help you. Go rant online about all your worries. Or go blame somebody else. Blame the government or something. No, he says, pray. If you're in trouble, pray. See, when you're in trouble, it's time to pray. Do me a favor. Tell your neighbor it's time to pray. Okay, now tell the other neighbor, it's time to pray. See, whether we're in trouble or when we're not in trouble, it's time to pray. When is it time to pray? Always. It's always time. Very good. You guys are good. You know, man, some of you might say, you know what? I tried praying and it didn't work. Well, here's the thing. God is not a vending machine. He's a father. And 1 John 5, verse 14, it tells us that he hears us the first time we pray. He hears us the first time we pray. Now, who of you have children? Yeah. Fathers, mothers, every time our kids ask us something, the first time we hear them, do you always give them what they want? No. If you do, we need to talk. We don't give our children everything they want, because what they may want is not always what they need, not always what is best for them. And sometimes when we ask things from God and God does not give us what we want, it's because we don't really actually need it. And that's hard for us to accept, right? Just like a little kids, it's hard to accept. When mama says no, when daddy says no, my children know that my favorite word is no. I start with no and then we'll see where we go from there. That's probably not good parenting advice, but. See, God is too good to give you everything on your timing. And so this leads to how Jonah prays. I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer meeting and somebody is praying and it's just like that prayer was like sponsored by the Holy Spirit or something. They're praying, you're like, oh, if I could only pray like that, I'm sure God would listen. But if you would listen to the prayer that person is praying, what you will often find when it sounds so powerful, they're really not praying their own words. They often pray scripture. Isn't that right? They're just quoting scripture left and right, and it just, wow, it sounds so powerful. That's because it is. It's because they're praying the word of God. And so what I did, I used ChatGPT, and I said, ChatGPT, help me out here. I need to preach in NTC. Can you tell me what Jonah is praying? There's like 8 or 9 verses in chapter 2. Actually, 10 verses, but the prayer is about 8 verses long. And what you find out is that Jonah is literally praying scripture. He's praying the Psalms. His entire prayer is just weaving of different phrases, of different Psalms. Some word for word, some are slightly different, but the ideas all come from the Psalms. So just to give you an idea, I want to go through a few of them. If we look at verse 2a, it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he, I don't know if you can read this, he answered me. Psalm 120 verse 1 says, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. Almost the exact same wording. The second part of that verse 2 says, from deep in the realm of dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Psalm 18 verse 6 says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he heard my voice. Psalm 16 verse 10 says, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Verse 3 says, all your waves and your breakers swept over me. Psalm 42 verse 7 says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Verse 4, I said, I have been banished from your side, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Psalm 31 verse 22, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your side, yet you heard my cry for mercy. Verse 5, the engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Psalm 69, verse 1 and 2 says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. Verse 6, to the roots of... I don't think I have a verse 6 here. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Psalm 18, verse 6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God. I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And you can look at verse 6, verse 8, verse 9. You'll find the same thing. Jonah was drowning in salt water, but he was anchored in the word of God. He was anchored in the word of God. He had so much knowledge. And if you look at Jonah, it was written after most of the Psalms were written. Not all of them, but most of the Psalms were already written. And he had internalized. And he prayed the word of God. So one of the most powerful things you can do is pray the word of God. Here's why. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says this. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always. How often? Always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. See, when you pray the word of God, and this is so powerful, you're not trying to convince God. You are agreeing with God. Come on, a little kid prays and asks. He's trying to convince the dad or the mother to give them something, to do something. But see, if we pray the word of God, we're not trying to convince God to do anything. We're just agreeing with him. And what, you know what? That's a prayer that God will always answer. Stop trying to convince God. Start agreeing with him. Pray his word. Pray scripture. Let the word be so alive in you that every time you pray, the scripture comes up. And this is what I do this all the time in our church. We have a young church, so I'm always teaching about read the Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. That's like the ongoing thing. Because I want people to have not just the word in them, but when they pray, it comes out of them. When they speak to people, it comes out of them. Because when they do, they are agreeing with what God is doing. So, moving on. Are you doing okay? Okay, good. So, I love then what happens in verse 9. And I kind of waited for this. But he says this. He moves from petition. He's petitioning God. Now he's moving to worship. He's going from petition to praising. And so he prays in verse 1. Nothing visibly happens. He prays in verse 2. Nothing happens. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's praying and nothing in the visual, in what he can see and what he can experience, is actually changing. Nothing changes until verse 10, the last verse of chapter 2. So in the meantime, in verse 9, while he is still in the fish, and Jonah didn't really have the benefit of the story that we have, right? We see the beginning and the end, and we just kind of read over it. Oh, that's a cool, cute little story that I can tell my kid. But many of us, if you're honest, you've been in the belly of the fish. You've been in the dark. And you're praying, and you have no idea if God is even listening. It doesn't seem like it gets, prayers don't even reach the ceilings. We're in the belly of the fish, and we're wondering, is God even listening? Is he going to respond? We don't know. But here's what Jonah does, and this is what we can learn from Jonah. It says, verse 9, but I will offer, what? Sacrifices to you with songs of praise. Woo, you're in the middle of the big belly of the fish. And he's saying, I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to worship. And then he says, I will fulfill all my vows. Why? Because salvation comes from the Lord alone. See, that's praise before the provision. That's praising before the miracle happens. See, it's maybe easy to praise after the miracle happens, right? It's easy to praise after the provision has happened. It's easy to praise after I've been healed. It's easy to praise after my prodigal sends me a text and says, I'm coming home. That is easy to praise. But when we haven't seen anything yet, we need to worship. We need to surrender. Because ultimately, we are not in control. It's the biggest lie of the devil is to think that we have any level of control at all. Well, if you're a parent, you know this, especially when your kid is growing up. The bigger they get, the less control we have. Yeah, we hold on to the illusion that we can control anything. But we really can't. So why not just let God do what He does best? So it takes faith to praise before the provision. And so that's what we can call maybe verse 9, faith. This is verse 9, faith. And some of you, you're still stuck in verse 1 or stuck in verse 2. Maybe you're praying your heart out. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep pressing in. And let God grow you into this verse 9. Through these other verses, you're growing into faith. And to one point, you're going to go praise before you've even seen anything happen. You're going to praise Him for the miracle. You're going to praise Him for the provision. You're going to praise Him for the healing before it has even ever taken place. Maybe that's where you're at right now with your marriage or your kids or your job or your health. You're praying, but you don't see any movement. You're tempted to decide that nothing is happening. But while you're waiting, God is working. While you are waiting, we have a beautiful song that we sing. Right? God is a way maker. While you are waiting, God is moving. God is working. And I love about this verse too. In the second part, he says this, I will fulfill all my vows. No more excuses. No shifting blame. No, but God, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand the person I'm living with. You don't understand my financial part. He just simply says, Jonah says, I'm going to do what I told you that I would do. And for some of us, that's the next step. It's obedience. Make it right. Maybe in your life there is what we call the sin of commission, meaning you are doing something you know you're not supposed to do and you do it anyway. You commit the sin anyway. I would encourage you to stop. Maybe it's a sin of omission. That means God asks you to do something and you just don't do it. You haven't started. Maybe you've taken God for granted. Maybe you've sidelined prayer. Maybe you've ghosted the Word of God. Come back. Here's the thing. If you need to apologize to somebody, apologize. If you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive somebody. If you need to set a boundary, set the boundaries. If you need to walk away from sexual sin, don't wait until tomorrow. Walk away today. Amen? Not tomorrow, today. It's time to make things right in your life. So and then finally comes verse 10, the last verse of the prayer. And this is maybe the most gloriously disgusting verse in the Bible. Verse 10 says this, and the Lord commanded the fish. Who commanded the fish? The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So, can we agree on two things here? That one, that's amazing. Two, that's disgusting, right? Being vomited out on the beach. I'm guessing it's a beach. So, for 3 days and three nights, Jonah is inside this fish, praying in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. He doesn't even know the time cycles have passed and how much time he's been there. And he prays day one in the morning, and he prays in the afternoon, and he prays at night. In the second day, and he prays in the morning, he prays in the afternoon, he prays at night, he's praying. That's all he can do. Day three comes, and he's still praying in the morning, in the afternoon. If that's you, and you don't see anything changing, do not quit. Keep praying. Here's a little graphic I try to make. It says that God heard in verse 1, God heard. In verse 10, God moved, but in the between, God worked. God heard you in verse 1. God provided in verse 10, but maybe we're in the middle somewhere, but God is working. God is working. And here's I didn't come up with this, so if you think that sounds smart, it wasn't me. Here's a line that I love. It says, when it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. Yeah, I say amen to that. When it is not God's time, you can't do anything to make it go faster. Who has tried that? I've tried that. But when it is God's time, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It is God's time. So God commanded the fish at exactly the right time. The same God who commands wind and waves commands rescue and release. See, Jonah was not being punished, he was being rescued. Again, what we sometimes call a problem, God calls his provision. See, Jesus told a story in Luke 18 about a widow that needed justice. She was seeking justice from a judge, and the judge wouldn't give it to her. But she kept knocking, and she kept asking and asking and asking and asking, who's got a child like this that keeps asking and asking? And eventually say, okay, fine. Have it your way. The judge gave in. The point is not that God is annoyed, but God says, keep on knocking. Keep on pushing in. The judge wasn't compassionate, but because she wouldn't stop, he gave in. Jesus' point is, keep praying. Don't give up. Heaven is not, I think this is on your notes, heaven is not annoyed, or maybe not, but heaven is not annoyed by your persistence. Heaven is honored by your faith. I'm going to end with the following. See, Jonah's story is not just a fish tale. It's a foreshadow. In Matthew 12, verse 39 to 40, Jesus told this to the Pharisees. He says, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. On the cross, Jesus, who was sinless, who was perfect, took our sins. He was buried. But on the third day, I love that part. On the third day, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty and our salvation was secured. And I love this about, yes, amen. Our salvation was secured. See, salvation is often a messy thing. In Jonah's case, he was covered in fish mucus. And probably the acids of his stomach might have turned his skin pale and maybe his hair white. In fact, the name Jonah means dove, like a white dove. And so I asked ChatGPT to make me an image of Jonah, like an Arab dude with a fish, and he was kind of bleached. But nothing about this moment was Instagrammable, and he was taking a selfie. No, this was not Instagrammable. He was covered in fish mucus, and seaweed was wrapped around his head, like he said. See, salvation sometimes is messy. Yeah, you guys can start playing. So let me get super practical here with you. Maybe you've been overwhelmed by prayer. Maybe you hear Pastor Greg talk, and you think, oh, that's awesome. I wish I could be that person that prays like that. Let me give you just a few pointers that you can walk away with. First thing is, choose a time and a place to pray. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be 2 hours, a half an hour even. God just wants to meet with you. Give him 5 minutes in the morning. Start with that. Same thing with tithing. If 10% is too much for you, start with 1% and build up from there. Same thing with prayer. Start with a couple minutes every day. Say 10 minutes. Find a place. And if you drive to work and pray to God, just keep your eyes open while you drive. a while, maybe after dinner, or maybe on your balcony or on your porch, pray. Secondly, the thing you can do is open the Psalms or open the Gospel and read a few of those verses slowly, and when a word or a phrase grabs you, stop and pray it back to God. And last but not least, I want to give you this acronym that says for pray. It says praise. When you start praying, just praise Him. Say, God, You are beautiful. I worship You. Secondly, repent. Forgive me. Jonah says, what I vowed, I will do. Third, ask. Here are my needs. God, I pray for my coworkers. I pray for my family. I pray for my church. And Y stands for yield. That means I surrender my timing. I surrender my agenda. Your will be done. And then throughout your days, you can shoot up some of those little arrow prayers where you say, thank You, God. Or, God, I'm going to this meeting. Help me. God, I have to speak to her. Please help me. See, prayer isn't a performance. It's a conversation. Amen? So can I ask you to stand with me and let's pray together. Maybe if you're in a battle, maybe there's marital strain, maybe there's financial pressure, maybe there's a bad health report, maybe you have a child that's far from God, maybe there's some anxiety in your life, or maybe depression. If you need the presence and power of God, come on, would you lift your hands right now? Come on, all hands up all over the room. So what we're going to do is we're going to do two things that the text has teach us. First, we're going to pray like verse 1, but then like verse 9, we're going to praise. Is that all right? Can we pray and then we praise? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You like Jonah, not because we deserve it, but because You are merciful. Your word says that the fervent prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So we ask, Jesus, right now that You will heal marriages. Father, bring back the husband and the wives. Father, as they draw closer to You, they will draw closer to each other. Father, we pray that You would break off any addictions this morning. Any person that's struggling with an addiction, God, would You break it off? Father, we come to You for every person that is far away from You right now, but that says, Jesus, I want to come back. We pray for every child, every prodigal in this house. Father, we pray that You would bring them back to You. Come on, we lift this up. We lift it up to Him because He is the one who brings home. And where there is lack right now, we pray, God, that You would provide. God, You are our provider. You are the one that has more than enough. And God, so we stand on Your promises. And Father, whatever other prayer request there is right now in this moment, God, I pray that You would hear. Father, that we would see Your work. And God, that we would see You move and change the situation. So right now, as a church, let's praise Him together. Come on, lift your voice and say, God, I thank You for the breakthrough in my life. God, I thank You for what You are doing on my behalf. Father, I thank You, Jesus, that You have moved in a way that I could never see, God, but You are moving. Father, even I don't see it. Your word says that You move, and You move, and You move, and You break down barriers, and You move on my behalf. You are my provider, Jesus. You are my healer, God. If you have a sickness right now, say, God, You are my healer. And God, I praise You before the miracle. I praise You before the healing. Come on, let's worship Him.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.